Welcome to the Starzology Astrology Podcast. I'm Alison Price, your host, and I'm here with my co-host and good friend, Arwen O'Neill.
Hi, Alison. It's great to be here again.
So nice to have you once more. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about succedent houses.
Yes.
Previously, we have an episode on angular houses, and now we are going to be talking about succedent houses.
Absolutely.
So for those who don't know, the succedent houses are the houses that are behind the angular houses, and they technically support the angular houses.
Right.
So the succedent houses, there are four of them. It's the second house, which supports the first house, the fifth house, which supports the fourth house, the eighth house, which supports the seventh house, and then the 11th house, which supports the 10th house.
Right.
These houses are frequently also to do with money. One day when we dig into money in a big way, we'll definitely dig through these houses as well, talking about finances within your chart.
Yeah, and it's almost like more like resources than money even.
Okay.
The 11th house is the house of your friends and your associates and your groups and your,
we'll get to that.
But it's like, it's all the resources, whether they're financial or physical or social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's resources that you have from the four main angular houses.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be having a look at each of the houses in turn and just giving some idea of what these houses represent and some main kind of keywords that go with them. And we'll be looking into that.
Yeah.
So the first succedent house we're going to look at is the second house.
This is the house that's the native house of Taurus. So it is a Venus-ruled house. It's the house of resources, of money, of self-esteem and your possessions. And it is it's frequently the house that revolves around like your self-esteem. So your it's not your physical body in the sense of like your identity, like the first house.
Yeah.
But it's often the house of like what kind of clothes you wear or what your how you decorate your house or you know, the things you kind of surround yourself with or the things that you possess.
Your resources.
Your actual physical resources.
Yeah. And it's frequently, of course, the house of money. It's usually the first money house people talk about. And it generally, but technically it's money earned.
Right.
So when you're working for the man, your income is shown through this second house.
Yeah.
So, and for most people, that is where their money comes from. Yeah. They have a job and therefore they get paid and therefore it's second house.
Yeah.
Not for everyone, but definitely for the majority of people.
Yeah. And when we go to the other houses, we'll get into the difference between entrepreneurial pursuits versus, you know, if you start your own business or if you're the boss or if you inherit, which is the eighth house.
Yes.
But we'll get there.
We'll
so
get
this
that.
Is
yeah.
like your salary.
Yeah. But yeah. second house is money you earn when you've got a job. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I also just want to go back to just take one step back where previously we had said that the angular houses are energies that you have access to from birth. So if you have planets in the angular houses, you've got immediate access to that energy. But if you've got planets in the succedent houses, they are pending, almost sitting on a shelf waiting for you to say, hey, let me pay attention and use some of this energy.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. So if you have planets in the second house, which you and I do, actually, funnily enough, these are energies that as you grow up and get older and you actually have to say, let me pay attention and to start using this type of
energy.
Yeah.
And I actually don't have anything in the first house.
Right.
So my very first planet is something that's in the second house.
Right.
Of course, it's Neptune. So, you know, we've talked about that.
I know.
So fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So any planets in the second house will show the nature of your income, technically, and with it being Neptune, we want to find a positive vibe on this, surely.
Yeah.
We want to say artistic, creative, and so on.
Yeah.
But it can also be elusive, I think.
Yeah.
Would you say that was the case?
Absolutely, yeah. And I would say it's also something where, I think I've said this before, where I went through like a period of financial difficulty. And then as soon as I started making money again, I felt like just grateful. It's like so grateful to the universe that I ended up being so generous. And that has thankfully been able to continue. But it was so funny when I first had, you know, a job or two, actually, after a period of unemployment back in the like long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I would actually roll coins and like hand out rolls of coins to homeless people in our neighborhood
This instead is so dropping, Neptune in the second house.
Instead of just dropping change into their hand, I would actually hand like a roll of dimes or a roll of nickels. I don't think I ever gave out a roll of quarters because we did have like a laundry machine to take dollars and quarters. But anyway, yeah. And I remember one of them looked at me like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a roll of dimes? And I'm like, Merry Christmas or whatever. It was just, September. But yeah.
And it's interesting because Neptune is the planet of where things disappear and you lose track of not only, I want to say, income that comes in, but your outgoings as well. It's second house is where you give.
Yeah.
And
I've also said that one of the things I think is just the luxury of actually being gainfully employed for me is not having to know how much is in my bank account. That is absolutely the marker for me of if I'm doing well, I don't even know what's in there and I don't want to.
Neptune,
which is
in the
weird
second
for
house.
Some people. Like some people might think that sounds crazy, but that was the marker for me where I knew that I was doing okay after so long of like struggling when I didn't actually know what was in the bank account, and that was like, oh wow, that's I've made it.
And this is such an expression of this Neptune where things are disappearing. Your finances basically you are just giving them away.
Yeah, or it's just coming in and I'm not paying attention.
And you're not paying attention.
And happily, just blissfully unaware of it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, don't even get me started about taxes and how terrifying that is. there's the dark side of Neptune. It's the oceanic fear of like the unknown where, whatever,
So this is it.
We all have our weaknesses and our strengths.
Absolutely. So this is, everyone's got Neptune somewhere.
Yeah.
But when you've got a planet in the second house, it does show the nature of the money you earn and where you give.
Yeah.
Donations that you hand out and where you can be altruistic about things. And because you happen to have this easy come, easy go Neptune, this is really what you're saying. The money's kind of drifting in and it's kind of drifting out. And
donating clothes and stuff and books. I've always done that. When I had no money. I've always donated clothes to thrift stores and stuff. Like the idea of just throwing something away that someone else could use is awful. I mean, maybe that was part of growing up, with kind of hippie parents and all that stuff too. And not growing up wealthy, just the idea of like,
but it is very Neptunian because
like,
it's not something I do.
A lot of people can't be bothered, but it's just, and it's not just going and donating to like a, Salvation Army or a store necessarily. Like if I have friends who could use anything that we have, like I'm just way, way more happy to, give something away and then just have it kind of go to a good home or someone who actually could use it than even, necessarily recouping the financial whatever for it.
Fantastic.
Especially clothes because it's, I just.
Yeah. So it's all your.
I'm not a label whore necessarily, like.
It's all your first time stuff that you're just handing them off, right?
Yeah.
So Neptunian.
So Neptunian.
And this would indicate as well that you would actually earn income through artistic endeavors.
Yeah.
Which I think in a way you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny cause I did go to art school. So I don't think of like my kind of corporate gigs as creative, but they very much are,
yes.
Compared to what they could be. I'm writing and I'm doing Photoshop and I'm.
You're manipulating images and art.
Yeah. Creatively manipulating words and ideas. Yeah.
So this is it. So if somebody has multiple planets within the second house, they're likely to have multiple income streams as well. Mm. So if you've got the Sun and Mercury and Neptune, you're going to have three types of income stream. And why not?
Yeah.
So
at your disposal, because as we say, it doesn't come naturally.
It's pending. They're pending. You've got to do something. You've got to do something to activate these things.
Yeah. So if you're fortunate enough to have a couple of things in the second house, that means you have.
Yes.
You have choices. You have.
Three jobs,
yeah.
Because that's where the money's coming from. So that's kind of interesting there.
And do you have anything in the second house?
I do. I have Pluto in the second house. I know. So it's
outer planets of both of us.
I know. It's the when I first started doing astrology, the indication was Pluto in the second house. It's power over money. Yes, I thought yes, and this kind of thing and. To be honest, I'm just an average person doing an average thing and so on, but I'm particular about, I know where my money is, I know where it's going, and I know where it's going to go when it gets here.
Yeah.
And, definitely, there's no, Yeah, there is a different approach to it than what Neptune is.
Yeah,
it's more
the opposite.
It's more quite clearly, I'm more able to see where's the money, follow the money.
Yeah.
When I hear scenarios unfolding, I'm thinking, yeah, I know what's going on there, this sort of thing. So, but it's, we still, money keeps coming in and it goes deep. Yeah, yeah, I'm very, as I think I've said previously, people always think I'm more wealthy than what I am.
Right.
But it's just that perception that you've got power over money. And I've always managed to just get through against all the odds. So, so you lean into it.
It's interesting. I think that's an outer planetary energy that, as different as they are, Pluto and Neptune have in common.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have both managed to make it through in very different ways.
Yes.
And then yet here we both are in the same apartment building, downtown Vancouver.
Yeah.
But through very different avenues of life that we've gotten here.
And this is it. It's
and our very, very different perspectives on money and
whatever. Yes. Very interesting.
Yeah, but those outer planet energies are, very not personal. They're very much more of a, it's kind of all happening around you. And
So that's kind of interesting on the second house there.
Yeah.
So, Armin, there's a couple more things we want to say about the second house.
Yeah, I'm just going to quote from one of our OGs here, Stephen Forrest, and his absolutely quintessential book, The Inner Sky, The Dynamic New Astrology for Everyone.
Okay.
It's new from 1984, of course, so it's a classic. But he talks about the houses, and he goes through each one, and it gives a little, a really great just overview of it. And one of the things he says about, a couple things, rather, about the second house are successfully navigated and unsuccessfully navigated. So here are the kind of the markers of like successfully navigating your second house are confidence and self-esteem based on concrete self-adjustment and self-development, effective worry-free management of resources. Those are successful markers of the second house. Unsuccessful would be materialism and the equation of your self-worth with your possessions, lack of self-respect, fear of risk, collapse of willpower leading to failure in the world and life-limiting concern with material security. So those, I almost have chills, just hearing those key words there. And he says, a successful navigation of second house terrain always involves proving oneself to oneself. We compensate for inner doubts through disciplined effort and concrete accomplishment. Properly harnessed, personal insecurity can drive a person to reach towards the limits of growth. A busy second house can be the weakest possible astrological structure or the most resilient. Everything depends on how the individual copes with the pressures that it generates.
Wow.
I think that's really, just so concise and powerful.
Yeah.
And it makes, because, I think also in the modern world, we tend to sort of think money, materialism, it's essential, but also we kind of equate that with like maybe superficiality, maybe being kind of an ambitious narcissist or you're kind of a money grubbing, whatever. But when you put it in those terms, we all need to work. We all need to mostly, we all need resources to live. And when you put it in terms of like the fear of risk, the self-respect and the failure in the world, those are very powerful primal things that are very much wrapped up with your identity and your survival.
Yes.
It's really
this
survival.
Is it when when people like lose their job and they, for instance, suddenly have no income.
Yeah.
They've also got no self-respect because now suddenly they're unemployed and they can't pay for the roof or the food or whatever, or it's pending or looming upon them.
Yeah.
So having a job, and something to do and get paid regularly, I'm the Bob the plumber or whatever, gives self-worth, which is reflected from that first house as well.
That just gave me this weird flashback too. I've recently watched the show Dropout about this Elizabeth Holmes, the chick who ran Theranos, that was sort of a tech company that was based on kind of faulty or failed technology that was supposed to be like you take one drop of blood and they can run all these tests and they rolled it out into all these, stores. It was in Walmart, or not Walmart, Walgreens. Anyway, some drugstore. And it went on for about 10 years. And eventually they were found out that this technology did not work. And she had kind of modeled herself against Steve Jobs. So she had this like kind of black turtleneck look and these big kind of blue doe eyes. And she got all these investors, like millions and millions of dollars of, investors and really high up, like kind of tech and banking kind of guys. who believed her, and she did TED Talks and all this stuff, and now she's just in prison, and, you know, it's just completely destroyed, right? But her dad was, he worked for Enron. So the very first scene of this series is her dad coming home and looking shell-shocked, like he's just lost his job. Yeah, exactly. And she grows up to do what she's, you know, done. Oh, and God. It's like this bizarre.
What was her name again?
Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay.
Yeah. A really interesting story. And I mean, at first I was like, why am I watching this? But it was actually really well done. And there's a lot of, you'll recognize a lot of the faces in it if you watch it. A lot of really interesting guest stars kind of come through the show.
It's, fantastic. Yeah, I'll put a link to that below.
Yeah,
as well.
But that's Second House done wrong. There you go. If you want an example.
Second House done wrong. Yeah. Wow.
How not to do it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Owen. So we'll turn our attention now to the fifth house.
Yeah. The fifth house is a great house.
It is.
It's the Leo's native house. It's the house of pleasure, the house ruled by the sun, or it's associated with the sun.
Yeah.
It's about creative self-expression, about falling in love, about playfulness, gambling, and children.
And children.
Yeah,
yes.
Children are a gamble.
Well, yes, yeah. They are.
It's the biggest gamble of all. Yeah. So I'm going to, right off the bat, quote Stephen Forrest here. Successfully navigated fifth house. The keywords here are joyous anticipation of every day, the development of a creative outlet through which tangible evidence of internal processes can be expressed, the capacity to establish initial rapport with interesting strangers, and the unsuccessfully navigated fifth house is abusive, self-destructive, uncontrollable relationships with particular pleasures, creative blockages, and the inability to relax or play.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the fifth house. I think it's the because for the from the financial side, it's the gambling, it's the lottery winner, it's and that's where it becomes the money house for the fifth house. But of course, it's got children in, and anything you create or give birth to.
Yeah.
So being a creative, as we are,
being
creatives, I should say, as we are, I love this house. It's a house where it's not one of the predominantly pushy houses. It's a house where you can create something in this world, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And someone I know who has a lot of things in the fifth house is my mother.
Right.
And we've previously talked, you can go back into the archives, and we'll put a link to it in the bottom, our Libra Stellium episode, which I interviewed my mother, and that whole Libra Stellium of hers is in the fifth house.
Right.
And she's done ballet. She's been a choreographer. She's, had a creative daughter.
Yes.
and all these, you know, wonderful. She's a very romantic person. We talked about this sort of pre-Raphaelite sort of, you know, fairies and goddesses aesthetic that you can really see when you go into her home or look at the way she dresses. And there's, you know, lots of color and lots of pastel. Not pastel. What's the word? Just lovely flowing oceanic colors and
fantastic. Yeah. And it's the house of falling in love.
Yeah.
Falling, romance, dating, falling in love, puppy love, Valentine's, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
First dates, romance.
Yeah.
You know, you kiss a lot of frogs in the fifth house.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you have planets there, this is going to show the type, the nature of it. Also, of course, your children, if you have them, and the creative endeavors you have.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Do you have any planets in the fifth house?
Well, it's funny. I didn't think I did.
Oh.
But good thing old Eris was discovered in 2005. Otherwise, I would have an empty fifth house. And who wants that?
No.
But apparently, I have Eris in the fifth house, which is an interesting one.
Yes. Now, would you consider Eris a badass goddess?
She is.
And this is your,
she's
your
a
thing,
bad,
isn't
she's
it?
She's the bad girl of the solar system.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and my badass goddesses. Yeah, she's the original. She's the OG badass goddess.
Yeah,
disruptor of the.
So for those who don't know, you actually do your focus is on with your art and whatnot, and your blog, your new blog is on badass goddesses and the just remind us of that website.
Yeah, mspink.net.
Mspink.net, yes, we'll put a link to that.
mspink.net, please go and subscribe. You won't be bothered too much, just once a week.
Yeah.
And find out about all the badass goddesses and also other articles and whatnot that I like to.
And here it is, an Eris is in your creative fifth house. So you are actually leaning into that.
Fully.
Not always, but definitely. And also with your other, with your dancing as well.
Oh,
it is very Eris. It really is. You're not doing ballet.
No, no.
You're not doing tap.
No.
Hell no, you're doing.
Burlesque.
Burlesque,
yeah,
which is.
It's got this Halloween sort of and
edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy.
Yeah.
It's edgy and it's fun and it's sexy, but it's not.
It's,
you know,
grown up. It's,
yeah, it's,
yeah,
it's grown up, but it's irreverent.
Irreverent.
It's irreverent and it's fun and it's got a spark of kind of weirdness to it.
Yeah, so this is you are expressing that Eris through the dance, through the blog, through the art. It's all, and I know you, and it's definitely coming through.
Yeah.
So you're certainly tapping into that particular planet, right?
Yeah.
For your expression.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyone who's got planets in the fifth house, if you've got one, two, or three, generally they will indicate your children to start with from the actual cusp going out, or other creative things you've given birth to.
Yeah.
So look at it. It's an interesting house. It's. I think it's got potential. I think it's an untapped potential often because people are worried about their finances, their relationship and their career. But the fifth house will show where you can be creative, and humans are creative people. And
absolutely.
I love it.
And you don't need, that's a great way to kind of tie the second house to the fifth house, because it doesn't matter what your income is. It doesn't matter. You can be creative with nothing.
Yes.
Because the big, beginnings of human creativity, the cave paintings, the hands on the walls at the Lascaux cave. Like we've been interested in art and communicating and putting our handprint on the walls of our environment since we were able to
reach
the
dawn
of
time.
It's amazing. And of course, be fruitful, multiply, blah blah blah. Yeah, but you can be creative on absolutely nothing.
It's a fun house. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at it from the point of the gambling, or it's winnings, it's financial winnings.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put it the right way. So I actually have two planets in my fifth house. I've got Jupiter and Saturn. Now, I have four children, so they've got a lot of children. But the Jupiter particularly has helped me out in casinos.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past, but a million years ago when I was in Mozambique, it was after midnight. We were in the casino. We were the only people in there. My husband was chatting to the pit boss because nothing was happening. I'm playing the slot machine, not even looking at it because I'm listening to them yapping on about whatever. And I hit the jackpot.
That's amazing.
I know. And the jackpot, yeah. No, I won $35,000.
That's awesome.
And they pay you out in notes in a brown paper bag and you... And that's when, my husband said, okay, we're leaving now. We got in the car and we went home.
They're like, we'll clock you a room. You're like, nope.
No, we don't want that. No, they don't. Yeah.
No.
And they paid us out. And even today, if I go into a casino, I never lose.
Yeah.
I can frequently win, but not big amounts, but I'll come out with maybe a couple of hundred more than when I went in.
Yeah.
And it's just this Jupiter, this opportunistic thing that it kind of comes my way. There's an opportunity there. And if I take it, I move forward.
That's amazing. I, on like the gambling front, I have no interest in gambling, really. I love to go along for the ride. I love the fact that when you go to Vegas and you're hanging out with people who are
my favorite town,
you get free drinks, even if you're not actually gambling yourself, which is great. the idea of actually gambling my own actual money, I'd rather just give it to a homeless person, apparently.
You see.
Yeah. I have actually gambled when I have been in a gambling situation. I did actually win one time, and it was with someone else's money, which is, I don't know if that goes back to my Neptune in the second house, but it was like, this person wanted to gamble and I was with him and he was like, do you want to go to a casino? And I'm like, I don't have any money. I can't afford it. I don't even think I had a job at that point. And he was like, well, what if I gave you $100? I'm like, why would you? And he's like, just humor me, because he wanted to gamble.
Yeah.
And I ended up winning $100. So I gave him back his $100. And
there you go.
Yeah, it was fun.
This
was
great. This is it.
But it didn't make me want to go back the next day.
No.
You know?
Well, Jupiter does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, he was he was very much into gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And a Sagittarius. So there's that Jupiter.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do find with the Saturn there in the fifth house, because I have children, I won't say I was strict on my children, but I'd got some, I was strict. I had some rules and regulations about you know,
yeah.
Wash your hands, sit at the table, pick up your knife and fork, please and thank you. Yeah. Who do you think you're talking to? And they learned manners, and it was rigid. And I tried my best, you know, to teach them how to behave, really. Yeah. But I still remember my sister's husband coming to dinner once, and because we were in Africa, he'd just been in the pool, and he didn't have a shirt on.
Oh.
And he sat down at the table, and my kids turned and said, you can't sit at the table if you don't have a shirt on. And he said, you and your sister's bloody rule. But he had to get up and put a shirt on, because that was the rule with my kids. They yeah. couldn't sit at the table without a shirt. Yes. I know.
So anyway. It's a good rule. I agree.
Well, yeah. You know, you just don't want to, you know.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, so that's my experience of my fifth house planets. It's funny that we both have planets in the both the second and the fifth houses, which is kind of interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, let's move on to the eighth house. So this is the support house for the seventh house.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, this would have been your husband's money, your partner's resources.
Right.
Which it still is.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that, right?
It still rules inheritances.
Yes.
And taxes.
Money from others.
Yeah. Money from others. But according to Stephen Forrest here, it's the house of death. right out front, it's the house of death.
Yeah.
It is the corresponding house of Scorpio. So the associated planets would be Mars and Pluto. And he says, successfully navigated, it's healthy, flowing, spontaneous sexuality, acceptance of death, and an integration of its reality into your daily life,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of immortality of one's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Unsuccessfully navigated, it is blocked sexual functioning or obsessive sexuality, an inordinate fear of death or a denial of death, or a rigid denial of religious, occult, or mystical feelings. So your, what's the word? Your like extreme skeptics.
Right.
Perhaps would be an eighth house kind of persona mm-hmm. where you're like, I don't believe in anything and neither do you. Like
okay.
that kind of thing.
All right.
Not just a healthy agnosticism, but the rabid atheist kind of thing mm-hmm. where, you know, mm-hmm. it's all bullshit. It's all, there's nothing mm-hmm. to anything. It's all a mechanism and you know,
okay.
that.
Okay.
Kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking.
And so do you have any planets in your eighth house that are being expressed in this way?
I have good old Saturn in the eighth house.
Mm, do you see that expression coming through? As,
I mean,
so it's also the house of...
there is that fear of taxes thing. I mean,
yes. And the thing is, it's your debt. It's what you owe. It's your credit cards and your yeah. insurance and whatnot. And you have to have paid it first to get these to off the bill.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's one thing I am very, very fortunate to not have any debt.
Right, you and limit your debt.
I've been extremely careful all my life. I've had a couple of, like, misunderstandings about taxes. And, you know, that had a lot to do with being young and a contractor and just not having a good accountant and
yes.
a couple of bad experiences there. But at this point in my life, absolutely no debt. I've never actually racked up
yeah.
credit card debt ever.
Do you think, would you say then you fear having credit card debt? You
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was definitely something that was instilled from an early age of just not having a lot of money as, you know, someone
yes.
growing up. Because when you first go to college, you receive a ton of credit card applications. They know as soon as you sign those student loan agreements, oh, this person is willing to be in debt. They've got their, you know, you're on their radar.
Yes.
And they get you.
Yes.
Most of the time they get you. And I narrowly escaped that.
Mm-hmm. No, and this has to all to do with the fact that you've got Saturn there that is limiting
yeah.
your debt
yeah.
or the fear of it, that
yeah.
it's so, you know, in a way it's protecting you. I want
yeah.
to say boring as Saturn can sometimes be,
yeah.
in a way it's a great thing because
yeah.
so many people do carry mountains of debt. I
yeah.
do know this.
Yeah.
No, I'm not one of them either, but.
I've known so many people who even, you know, in my 20s, people who just got out of college and they owed so much money
yes.
already. It was, they would never get off from under it.
Yes. It's a tricky okay. one, but this Saturn has stood you in good stead in that way.
It really has.
That
yeah.
really you don't, these days in 2024, you don't need to be carrying debt for anything. We don't
yeah.
need more stuff,
no.
I believe.
No. I mean, at the same time, I'm never going to, you know, inherit a ton of money from a rich relative because there aren't any, but
you never know.
Unless there's one I don't know about.
Limited, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes,
yeah.
yes. So it's the fear of, yeah, of owing others, really. And even
yeah.
on general stuff, you're not, oh, I owe you one. You don't do that, do you? You pay your way.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're very good at that.
I prefer to be generous, and also it's interesting when I have been in a financially sort of destitute or needy sort of position in life. A couple of times, friends have helped me out, or I've helped friends out. But it's always been like, this is a gift, and if I ever get paid back, that's awesome. But I would never loan money to a friend and expect it back. That's just like, I never have, and I never will.
Wow. Yeah. What do they say? Never a borrower or lender be.
Yeah, that's one of the good things that Shakespeare said, for sure. But no, yeah, there's a couple of situations where I've definitely helped friends in to the tune of hundreds of dollars, and I do not expect it back, and I don't want it back, and I just would rather have the karma.
There you go. You see, this is it. This is karmic debts as well.
Yeah.
So let's limit that too. Let's not, let people owe you, sort of thing. It's an interesting position too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting that you have Saturn there. And I think too, if you say, for instance, you've got Jupiter in your eighth house, this is the person who's racking up the credit card debt because people are giving them the opportunity. Here's an extra 10,000, and they take it. And before you know it, you've got this Jupiterian level of debt hanging over your head.
Actually, I do know someone who has that position, and they only very recently paid off a couple of $1,000 that they owed someone from literally 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is the thing it was something that was easy for them to accept at the time. And then next thing you know, 20 years has gone by and they're like, oh my God. And they realize they could actually afford to pay this person back now. And it's just this karmic,
It's interesting. It is. It's as an astrologer, when I see the Jupiter in the eighth, particularly, I'm saying there, right then, you've got to get on top of this because people will just give it to you. Yeah. And this is why it's so easy to get into debt. Before you know it, you've got this mountain of debt coming on. And if it's, we often have it where I've got doing relationships with couples and she'll come and say, oh, I'm going to marry Bob. What do you think of his chart? And I'm thinking, get his FICO score because this Jupiter is telling me there's debt he hasn't told you about. It's not that it's a secret, but they just don't see it as a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's Jupiter. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
And also, there might be people of the opposite sex throwing themselves at you wildly.
Yes. With
that placement. That could be exactly. The thing, too. And that could be great. Or if you are marrying that person, it might not be that great. You might be like, well, hey, why is it every time we go to a restaurant?
You're picking up the tab, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But on the other hand as well, when we talk about other people's resources, this is where you have donations. It's like blood transfusions or bone donations or kidney donation. And when you've got planets there, you are potentially either going to require a donation or actually give a donation. So at some point in your life with these kind of planets, depending which planet it is, that's the sort of donation you are likely to receive physically from somebody as well, who are faceless people. You get a heart transplant and the person whose heart it was had to die to give it to you.
Right.
But you get to live when you've got these planets in the eighth house.
That was so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly it doesn't happen for everyone, but astrologically, that's where you look when you're looking at transplants or egg donation or whatever it is, or surrogacy, which I don't think, Do they still do that? I'm not even sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's that as well, where you are getting, particularly blood transfusions, where someone has donated blood and you are receiving it. So,
That's the most common of them. But I mean, people donate all types of organs now.
Corneas and whatnot.
And it's, there's the death thing on the eighth house cusp as well that we can mention.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you going to go?
Right.
Yes, in the nature of your eighth house cusp. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you're interested in looking at that, there.
That would be where you would look. Yeah, we're not going to go into that now, but that is where you would look.
You could look at.
Yeah, so it's other people's resources, which are generally frequently financial, but they can be stuff. Anyone giving you a leg up, anyone giving you votes quietly, and anyone who's supporting you, angel investors are all eighth house. Things. So if you've got planets there, you're likely to lean in and you might get some support there.
Yeah. I like how it's body parts either donated or given sexually.
Well, it's one of the two, isn't it? Yeah, it's the It's the house of, what is it, the inevitables of life, sex, death, and taxes.
Right, right. So weird.
Okay.
Do you have anything in the 8th house?
I do not. Oh. I do not. I've got nothing. No, nothing at all. So
interesting.
Yeah. Although, however, I have to say, I have received a blood transfusion. So,
that's nice. Yeah,
back in the day. But just because you don't have planets there doesn't mean you're not going to have an effective 12th house.
For sure.
You're still going to receive stuff from others. And
Yeah,
so that's about it.
Yeah. Well, here's a tiny tidbit from the old Stephen Forrest.
Yeah.
He says, like the 4th house, the 8th is a window through which the ego appears into the larger framework of consciousness. But there are differences between them, that being the 4th and the 8th. He says, the 4th house is very personal. In the 8th house, if we are brave and open and trusting, we have a chance to go beyond the personal realm, a chance to absorb into ourselves something universal.
Mm.
Yeah. So he says that
that's quite deep. Yeah.
Yeah. That's either to do with, you know, death or sex or, you know, resources that you share. Mm. And
great. Yeah, it's quite an interesting house. It deserves a lot of exploration.
Yeah.
And if you've got a lot of plants there, you can really unpack them all one by one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then our final succeed in the house is the 11th house.
Yeah.
This is the support house from the 10th house.
Yeah.
So any planets there are going to be suggesting the support you get. There are some main themes for the 11th house.
Yeah. So it's the house of friends. It's the natural house of Aquarius, so it is ruled by Uranus and or Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
It is the house of your groups, your affiliations, your friends, your community in a sort of more global sense. So not your local community, not your neighborhood like the 3rd house, but your house, your sort of your
tribe.
Your tribe. Yeah, exactly. That's a great way of putting it. And Stephen Forrest here says, successfully navigated, the 11th house is concrete, specific sense of your direction in life. It's realistic yet inspiring goals rooted in self-knowledge. It's your network of relationships that enhance and support the realization of your personal goals. And unsuccessfully navigated is vagueness of purpose, drifting, an inability to make a commitment at any level, unrealistic, quixotic, whimsical goals, and friends and associates who only contribute to confusion and drifting.
Wow.
So the house of associates can be good or bad.
Yeah.
Depending.
Yeah. Depending on the planets that are in it, basically. So if you have planets in it, we would assume that you have particular types of friends or types of groups that you gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And if you don't have planets there, which actually I don't have any there either, still I'm members of groups and this and that, but it's not a driving force in my life.
Right.
Yeah. So, but also with the 11th house as one of the financial houses, because it supports the 10th house.
Yeah.
Now, this is the income you would receive if you created your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not you working for the man. It's you setting up your own business, your side hustle, your own business. And that's the income that you are likely to receive from that.
Right.
Yeah. So,
because you're creating your own affiliation that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the least used financial house because most people just have a job. Some people win a lottery. Others maybe inherit, but if you actually have your own business or you're an entrepreneur, which you and I tend to be, and any money you're getting in from Redbubble or royalties from Amazon, such as myself, that income is shown through the 11th house. It's not second house at this point.
Yeah, interesting.
So if you are interested in opening your own business or running your own, and it's not a business that you bought from somebody else, you have to have created it yourself for it to be reflected as income from that 11th house.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm. So do you have any planets in your 11th house, Arwen?
I do. I have Venus and Pluto.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think I've said this before, but I picture them like Persephone and Hades, like this, they're this goth couple.
Mm-hmm.
Just arm in arm, all in black.
And would you say they represent your friends? You've got the dark friends and the light friends almost.
Gosh, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have the burlesque friends, and
that would be the Pluto.
Yeah, I have a lot of different types of friends.
Yeah,
but also my friends have come to me a lot through my partner, who is a Scorpio, and there's a Pluto.
There you go.
Influence there for sure.
Yes,
because he is the extrovert. I sent him out to make the friends, bring them back.
Oh, I see. He's the away team.
Yeah,
100%,
yes.
So would you say that, let's talk about groups and things. Would you say that you're parts of groups, part of a Scorpio group, which you are, and then part of a Venus group as well, perhaps?
Interesting.
Because clearly the burlesque dancing, I would say, is the Pluto thing, because it's not for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And, previously with the art, and that was also burlesque adjacent. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And then Venus, what would we say, maybe women's groups? I don't know.
I mean, astrology is a little bit.
It's the girls, isn't it?
It usually is,
And even the seasonal art group we do now and again down here, that's just a bunch of women doing some art.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, there is also a roller skating community that I'm a little bit adjacent
to. There you go.
That's a lot of girl energy there.
A lot of girls, girl power.
I have a roller girl sticker on my phone.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
so there are many ways that you, and here's the point that would these two groups intersect at all, or are they totally separate?
Oh, they very much intersect.
Yes. Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're blending that Pluto and that Venus
girl
group.
And power.
Girl power.
Girl power. Yeah.
But again, it's coming back to this badass goddesses, which is really who you're known as really now, isn't it?
Yeah, getting there. Yeah.
Super interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess this is very recent too, but I've been a contractor for quite a few years as an independent contractor. And recently I actually incorporated. So now I'm a corporation. And
that you've created yourself.
And it was kind of through necessity, because this is how you are a contractor these days, is you incorporate and then you're a corporation and et cetera. But yeah, it gives you the freedom to actually be not just a contractor for, you know, one company, which was kind of the way it was in the past, but this is the umbrella under which you do all of your creative endeavors, which could be, you know, working for a company, or it could be selling things on Redbubble or.
Exactly. So you actually have created a business that you own that is small. Micro, they're calling them even nano these days. but the point being that that particular type of income is showing through this 11th house of two streams.
Yeah.
And that's how you would want to perceive it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Okay.
And just to wrap up the 11th house with another quote from the inner sky here, Stephen Forrest says, "Signs and planets in the 11th house tell us where we're going and who can help us get there," which is really, I think that really puts it in a great, concise way. Nowhere in astrology is it more critical to remember that the symbols are flexible. 11th house configurations do not create the future for us. They merely describe our alternatives. We can respond positively and creatively, or we can respond in a lazy and unimaginative way. Whatever energies exist in this phase of the birth chart, we all know that by the end of life, they will have come to dominate the character for better or worse, which is interesting. So signs and planets in the house of friends tell us where to look. They suggest what types of people and what types of associations or movements benefit us most. And they also tell us where our own energies are most needed and will be most appreciated. So it's not just about friends. Yeah. It's about where we're putting forth our energy, those internal resources, and where we will get it back from those people who we associate with.
That's right. And the fact that you even go to these groups is because you're getting something out of it.
Right, yeah.
So with your two planets there, we would assume that you do get something out of all those groups that you're
absolutely
a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting. So again, it's a succeeding house, so it's supporting that 10th house of what you're doing in the public domain.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and also just, it's interesting because meeting friends through those associations has been a really successful, especially recently, since I started, you know, going out and doing the roller skating thing, doing the burlesque thing. The people that you meet through these or through the art in the community, these people are people who I've ended up knowing and sort of having as a you know, my little posse, my crew.
Your crew.
Yeah. And it's interesting. My partner also, even though he's 9 years older than me, he also has Venus and Pluto, I believe, in the 11th house.
Wow.
Just in Virgo, not in Libra, like by myself. And he has met tons of his friends through hockey, which is his passion. And and through these groups that he goes out and, you know,
hangs out with his
literal
groups.
Team.
Yes.
And so we have a very diverse and interesting group of friends.
Of associates. And your social life must be quite something then. This is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you've got planets in the 11th house.
In all these different arenas in life. Very, very sort of diverse, but all really great people. Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been great. We've had a look at the succeeding houses. This is the second house, the fifth house, the eighth house, and the 11th house. We've had a bit of a look at some planets in different houses and how they can be supportive houses for the angular houses, which is really the way to look at it. And it's been great to consider planets there. And certainly if you have planets in your succeeding houses, do explore them more in the ways that we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay, Arwen, well, thank you so much once again for being here with us.
Thank you. This has been great.
It's been lovely to explore these houses with you. And for our listeners, if you have any questions, you can certainly email us at starsology@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from you. And please share this podcast if you found it valuable.
Exactly. Do share the episode if you found it valuable. Thank you so much, Arwen. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.